Hello and welcome to End Goals, an LCMS Youth Ministry podcast. I'm host Reverend Mark Kiesling, and I'm with DCE Juliana Schultz. We are here to bring parents, church workers, and lay leaders discussions and resources to help your youth ministry meet its end goal, which is young people who are disciples of Jesus Christ for life. Today, we're going to talk about warmth, challenge, and grace from the seven practices of healthy youth ministry.
If you've been listening to us talk at all, anywhere here, national, you remember that we talk about our seven practices of healthy youth ministry, and then we put out a book earlier this year. But we realized on this podcast that we had not gone through each one of those practices and talked about them specifically since when we started this podcast.
It doesn't seem possible.
4 years ago, 100+ episodes since we've talked about this. And so we thought it was about time that we come back and we talk about the practices. And today we're going to start with warmth, challenge, and grace.
We want to focus on those parts of healthy youth ministry that are programmatic, certainly, but then those things that talk about the environment of youth ministry, that it can be so critical. And you know that between visiting a church or youth ministry that has a strong, healthy environment, you know how great that is, how welcoming it is, connections get made, you know, those relationships can be built. But you also can know maybe you had those struggles of walking into an environment where maybe it felt cold or closed off, or maybe you could mention some conflict going on amongst the people are there. That can make a huge difference, and maybe one person to make a connection and maybe to bring others to visit. And that's why warmth, challenge, and grace is one of our seven practices of healthy youth ministry.
And we ran through a ton of different words, both in our research and other ways, to think about how we would describe that environment of healthy youth ministry. Words like a safe or authentic, warmth, welcoming, empathy, value, and lots of those, one, have some cultural baggage to them. Right. But also some of them, they just didn't describe. It wasn't quite right. Right. We went through a lot of vocabulary that wasn't quite right.
The thesaurus came out a lot on
this. Right. It did. Yeah. A lot of synonyms, ones that have some different nuance to it. But we landed there on warmth, challenge, and grace. And so before we jump in talking about this, let's define those words as we talk about them in the book.
So we came up with that warmth is characterized by displaying Christ's love for all people and a personal invitation to be part of the community of believers.
Challenge can be used to describe two distinct characteristics. The first is the willingness to approach difficult topics and situations. So we're handling conflict, we're handling sin, we're upfront about that. And then two, that we're encouraging young people to step out in faith through the Holy Spirit to be their light in the dark places, even when that might be difficult.
And thirdly, grace echoes God's love and forgiveness given to us in Jesus Christ and how then that is shown in our relationships and as we face our culture.
So we're going to talk about what does that look like with the environment, not just feel like, but look like in practice, with Angie Kohlbaum. Angie Kohlbaum's a DCE. She's a licensed independent mental health practitioner and a certified professional counselor in the state of Nebraska with Lutheran Family Services. She's a member of a Christian counseling team at a master's level prepared mental health and marriage and family counselor. She serves clients in person in the Norfolk and Northeast Nebraska area. And she also serves Nebraskans through telehealth. She serves as the director of LFS's Church Work Wellness Team to provide support, encouragement, and prayer for church workers throughout the LCMS. She's called as a director of Christian education at Trinity Lutheran Church in Madison, Nebraska. Thanks for joining us again on the podcast, Angie. Yes,
thank you for having me.
So, big things that you do. We're so grateful for the work that you do, both as a DCE and as a mental health practitioner. We got to hear a little bit about that in your introduction, but maybe tell us more about yourself, your vocations, your roles in youth ministry, and other things that bring you joy.
Okay. I'm a mother of five, a wife of a pastor. I've worked in, and I have seven grandchildren. I have worked in youth ministry for over 20 years. I love working with the youth. I especially love the fact that in my husband's call right now, I have the honor and the privilege of being able to, teach 5th through 8th grade confirmation in the school, in our Lutheran school, and I absolutely love doing that. And I know that's an age group that some people really don't like, but I really love that. Oh, and I love spending time with my family. I love spending time reading, studying, spending time with my husband most of the time. No, I'm just kidding. I love living in Nebraska. I think that I never thought I would ever say that, but I do. I love Nebraska. So not the Huskers.
I was going to say, hard to say for an Iowa girl,
yes,
right?
Yes, yeah, I love the Hawkeyes, but I love Nebraska. And I even love the people who like the Huskers. So
that's right. That's right.
There's some more challenging grace in there.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
Well, one of the things we love to hear about from youth ministry leaders is about their junior and senior high school years. Can you share for us maybe a time when Jesus used a key moment or moments or people to keep you close to his church or bring you close to his church or people?
I would say probably, I went to a Lutheran grade school and I went to Lutheran high school. And I would say the biggest impact I had, because I don't know that we had a DCE or anything. We had a, our fifth grade teacher was the youth director. Mm-hmm. But when I got to high school, it was a huge impact. The teachers that I had and the fact that they were always looking for ways to connect us to Christ and in all that we did, whether we were on the basketball court or on the volleyball court or outside or serving, whatever it was we did. And I learned from some really awesome educators back then. One of the most impactful things that I was just talking with somebody else about was the Marty Colway was a new teacher at the time. I think it was my senior year. And he had us all write letters to somebody who had influenced our life, our faith life. Mm-hmm. And I got one. Of course, it was for my sister, but still, I got one as a senior, and I still carry it around in my billfold. Mm-hmm. It's pretty tattered and nasty looking, but every once in a while, I'll get it out because I think that we don't realize how we can impact others until we sometimes are reminded of it like that. And that was just a cool thing that Mr. Colway did that year to get us in that focus of how do we get to this place? Who has helped us along our journey? And I just thought that was a really impactful thing because I think we forget sometimes to say thank you to those people who've done that for us. I think the other part too, my parents were very influential. And I mean, my parents were very faithful and they made a lot of sacrifices so that I could go to a Lutheran school. Because back then it was a lot. I mean, my parents were white, would be considered blue collar workers, and they did everything they possibly could so that I could go to both my sister and I could go to a Lutheran grade school, high school, and college. So I'm very grateful for that.
So you talked about loving teaching confirmation, and I'm right there with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite things to do. But what do you love about working with young people and their parents in your congregation and community?
There's so many things. I think the basic thing is I love to watch, especially we've been here 5 years now, and to watch the progression from those fifth graders when I first was able to start teaching them to now they're in high school and see how they've, and especially since those kids were in, it was COVID. So we were doing very creative ways to teach them confirmation. And it's just kind of cool to see how they've grown and they've developed. And, you know, and parents weren't as involved at that point. We're trying really hard to keep parents involved, but I love the support that we get from those parents that are involved. And I don't know, there's just something really cool about watching a kid figure out the Jesus loves them all the time, even when they mess up, and that they can have a conversation about those things that they think about that you kind of go, well, I never thought about that, but let's talk about it, you know?
Nice.
And, or even just the innocent questions about the things that we believe and the why. I think that is probably one of my favorites. And I don't have all the answers. And I appreciate the fact I get to do team ministry with my husband because, you know, I'll write things down and then I'll say, well, I talked to Pastor and this is where he said we could find this answer. Or, you know, and when you see Pastor next, ask him that question. And the same thing works with my women's ministry ladies too. It's like, I don't know what that is. We'll have to ask Pastor. So, right. But I really do. I love the fact that I think we've created an environment where people feel comfortable asking because there's never a stupid question, whether it's a parent question about something that their kids are learning about or whether it's a kid saying, well, why do we believe this? And, you know, there's a lot of topics in the world today that make it,
right.
You know, those tough topics. And we don't have all the answers to some of it, but just having that conversation, I think it's so important that the kids have a safe place that they can go to that's going to come from the Christian perspective. And I think that's, I don't know, I just love working with kids. I don't know. I just do.
Well, we love to hear about you talking about the welcoming environment that happens while you're on the podcast.
Yes.
As we start talking about the practices again.
It will.
And specifically about warmth, challenge, and grace of kind of, again, being one of these bedrock things that we look at about environmental factors within families, within relationships, within congregations, within Lutheran schools, where, again, young people can feel that place where they are welcomed and valued and can have a place where they can bring those questions. And so they can be given the truth in God's word and also certainly in all those things, like you said, be reminded of Christ's love for them, that even in those times of questions or doubts, Jesus still loves them, died on the cross for them, and that there's a place where they can come and have and know that love. So when we think about that as a practice, why do you think, as you've seen this play out in your ministry there or other places where you've been or seen it across congregations, why is that element so important?
The warmth, is that what you're speaking of, or all three of them?
Challenge and grace,
okay.
All three of them.
Well, I just think they're all very important just because people don't want to go somewhere where they don't feel like they're going to be heard, and or they feel like if they ask a question, they're going to be shut down. And I think that that's probably one of the most important things. People want to feel comfortable. People want to feel at ease. And I think that is the biggest thing that we face in our churches sometimes. I think that we were just having the conversation. We got new carpet in our church, and it was so nice because there were no arguments about the color. It was just, it went really smoothly, and it looks beautiful. And I was over at the church yesterday, and I was talking to one of the ladies, and we were discussing the fact that we don't have a big fancy church. Our church is an old church, but we have people that love the people that walk through our doors, whether they're a member or whether or not they're not. And I think that that speaks volumes to the big picture. That's what we want. And the one lady said, you know, I would much rather be a warm congregation or a welcoming congregation than a congregation that has all the bells and whistles. And I said, what? I'm glad to hear that. And they have been very intentional in our congregation here because they went through some rough years. And the ladies like rush to try to find people that if they, I don't know who that was. And of course they look at me and I'm like, I don't know who that was either. And they'll like race each other to see who can get out there to say hello to people. And I have older people who are so good about seeking out my youth and saying, hey, are you playing football this year? Are you doing? And those things mean something to our kids when they know that they're seen, that they're not just somebody to set up chairs and to serve, which those are important things, but they are also, the members care about who they are as a person and the interests that they have. So anyway, that would be warmth. As far as the challenge goes, I think that holding them to a standard that is not one that everybody is always holding them to without judgment, but with expecting them to be the best that they can be as a child of God who was created to be who they are with their gifts and using their gifts. And I think that's something I've seen too with our older, we've got a lot of retired educators, and they're so good about, you know, talking to the kids about, you know, what are you doing? Or I haven't seen you, or what's going on with this? Or being engaged, which is the warmth part, but also being willing to challenge them when they need to be challenged. At our former congregation, we did a study on Do Hard Things. I don't know if you've heard of that book. And it was so good for my high school youth to go through that because they found themselves saying, we can do hard stuff. We can't. And in our world today, kids don't want to do the hard things because they're afraid of failure or they're afraid of judgment if they do fail. And I think we need to challenge them to be the best that they can and do those things that will make a difference in their life as well as the lives of others. So I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So I think you have identified a few of them. And so I think maybe it's helpful. We talk about environment. This can be really hard, a little bit nebulous for people to put a finger on. Mm-hmm. So I've heard you say a few of them. One is like a place where people feel comfortable asking questions, where people know each other's names. Right? Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things. One where we're asking kind of hard questions about like what's going on in your life and we feel comfortable sharing those things. What are some of those other like practical markers that you might see in an environment that has warmth, challenge, and grace?
I think that just that the grace part is a big one, just for the fact that when we do, we live in a very small town. It's about 2,000 people. So everybody knows what everybody's doing. And I think that grace factor is a big one too, for when somebody does mess up, that they're still welcome and they're still, you know, it's not like they're just said, oh, that's a bum deal that happened. They actually, it's just an attitude, I guess. I don't know if that's really answering. I see it as having this comfort and this ease and the feeling of people wanting you to be there. If you've ever been in a situation where you've walked in and you've gotten that feeling of, ooh, I walked in on something, I shouldn't be here, or you were unwelcome, I think it's a very, people don't want to be in that situation. People turn around and say, oh, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to come in, or whatever. And at church and at our school, I think it's so important that regardless of what we're doing, especially as adults, when we have kids coming around and youth coming around, they need to feel welcome. Even if we're in the middle of a bunch of other things and have stacks of stuff we need to do, we need to carve out that time that 5 minutes that you stop and say, oh, what's going on? What can I help you with something? Or just that touch point is so important in creating an environment. And I think an example, we do prayer partners at our church. Mm-hmm. Every kid that's under 18 has a prayer partner that I try really hard to make sure they're not related, which is kind of a challenge. But I've got a lady who just took it to the nth degree, and it's so awesome because it was a girl that didn't come to church very often. Mm. And she took it, she got her as her prayer partner when she was in sixth grade. And she has been to ball games. She has gone to things at the school. She didn't have any other kids there, but she's been very intentional about making sure that she connects with this young lady. And when on confirmation day, it was the coolest thing because they're taking their pictures with the family, and the prayer partner, Pam, says, I'd really like a picture too with her. And the young lady says, oh yes, I need to have you in my picture. And it's just those little things like that. And I don't know how, because some people are really good at it and some people are just not very good at it. You know what I mean?
It takes intentionality, like you said. Right?
Yes.
It takes a level of thoughtfulness about how to produce that.
And understanding that, okay, I'm not going to get a whole lot back. I think as the adults in congregation, we need to remember that they're kids and they're teens. And you might not hear about it till they're 25 or 30 and they say, you know, that really meant a lot to me that you da 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 da, because they're not mature. They're not at that point where it's not going to be necessarily always a two-way. You're going to have to give a lot more than you're going to get from that relationship. But I think as adults, we need to remember that that's okay. That's what we need to do. Yeah.
I think we recognize that teens are in a stage where they're incredibly self-conscious,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are concerned that everybody is looking at them, mm-hmm. Right? And when they walk into an environment where they're like, I'm not sure if I belong here, if I'm seen here, if I'm known here, that can be really scary for them, even if they've been there their whole lives.
Right, exactly.
Right? Not necessarily knowing their place.
Mm-hmm.
But I love what you said, like, you know, whether it's just making eye contact, or it's greeting people.
Right.
It's people who go out of their way to make those connections.
Because they know that that's an example that's kind of like this, but our junior high girls wanted to know why they couldn't wear backless sandals to school, because that's what's in the handbook. So there were some adults, and it was awesome because one of the ladies, a retired teacher, she happens to be on our school board, and she said, put together a proposal. Those girls went to the board meeting last week, and before the school board, they had a PowerPoint that went through, first of all, the history of the backless sandal, and then they went through the whole thing, and it was awesome. But the coolest part was the board said, we will let you have backless sandals. You can wear them for 3rd through 8th. They can wear them at school, but you have to bring tennis shoes for recess and PE. And the girls are like, yeah, yeah. Those girls were so excited because adults took what they wanted and they took it seriously. They didn't laugh at them. They let them do their thing. And it was just incredible. And those girls, they just feel so empowered now. It's so funny because I think they're looking for the next cause to go with. But yes. What a wonderful thing for that, for our church and the school board to say, make your case, bring it to us. And they made a presentation. That PowerPoint was just awesome. And the last slide, I think, said, a privilege is something that if we, how did they say it? A privilege is something that if you don't take it, if you misuse it, it can be taken away. Mm-hmm. And so that was how they ended it, saying, we know that if we misuse this, you will take it away, but we want to be given the shot to try it. I just think that that's one of those points where they did a really good, I shouldn't say we, because I had nothing to do with it. I just was the observer, but the adults in our congregation did a really great job of saying, yeah, we'll do this. We want to hear you. We see what you're saying. We want to hear what you have to say, present it. And so I know it's not really faith-based, but I think it still is a part of that relational setting a stage for an environment in our church and school.
Well, I love that one kind of hinges on, I think, the next one. If we turned a challenge a little bit here, a warm environment allowed for them to do hard things.
Mm-hmm.
To do that was challenging, to take a step and to have, I love intergenerational conversation, mm-hmm. To be able to maybe more deeply understand why there was that policy, but then also be able to present their case and have that relational mm-hmm. connection that takes place. I love it. So around challenge, you talked about like what you've done with your high school students. I'm sure in the classroom you have to do this too. We talk about it kind of on two sides, certainly one about like challenging young people to take that step in faith by the work of the Holy Spirit, to try new things and to understand who they are in Christ as they do those things, as uh-huh. new things come into life, new challenges happen there. But then also too, sometimes you got to have that conversation maybe when you do see a young person that you love, maybe not behaving in the way or maybe starting uh-huh. to stray, that you have that conversation too, to call them back and to sometimes receive forgiveness maybe relationally as well that needs to happen, or to confess their sins to God as well. So how is challenge maybe that you've seen that be effective in ministry to young people?
I think the biggest thing that we've used for challenge is servant events. They mm-hmm. have been like a really good opportunity for that, because a lot of times there's that piece that's built into it that they're doing something they've never done before. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in the context of their faith and in the context of a scripturally based event. And I think that that is one of those things that has helped foster challenge, because I think personally and selfishly, I love that opportunity because I have them without all the distractions. Yeah. I don't have to, they're not leaving. So I like servant events or servant trips are very good for the purposes of getting to challenge them at things and have those deep conversations and be able to follow up past that. Because sometimes it's really hard when you have those conversations on a Wednesday night and you're talking about, you know, hot topics, you know, transgenderism or any of that stuff. And you have that hour and a half, and when it's done, it's really hard because you can't always read where everybody's at. And I never want to leave somebody out there hanging with a negative perception of what we've talked about as being something that's non-Christian or what God wants us to be doing. And, you know, those tough conversations that we need to have. So that's the thing I like about the servant event things, because usually they're 4 or 5 days long and you can really flesh that out. But on the same side, I think we need to have those conversations ongoing, because we want the kids to come to us. We want them to have that that comfort. I just told I always do this at the beginning of the school year. I tell the kids, I just want you to know that no matter how bad you mess up or do something, you always have a place that you can come with Pastor and I, that we will not sit in judgment, but we want to talk with you, and we want you to know, because we don't want church to be a place that you're afraid to go back to because I sin so bad that I'll never be able to go back there. And we usually talk about the prodigal son and kind of link that to that, because I think that's one of the hardest things in 20 years of ministry is seeing those kids that have maybe kept a connection with my husband and I, but they have chosen to leave the church because of hurts or because they feel like what they did was so bad that they could never go back. And we just continually try and we pray and hope that that will be something that eventually they will get back to. But I just think that we have to hold true to what our beliefs are, But at the same time, that doesn't mean we can't love them and we can't walk with them through those hard spots that they go through. Because the reality is we live in a sin-fallen world and they're going to have those, they're going to mess up. I messed up. You know, we all mess up and we do things and we think, oh, but thankfully I had people in my life that would counsel me through that to the point where, you know, Jesus still loves you. And I just had to confess and repent I have that confession and absolution. But when the kids are marginally involved, that's where I really worry, is when they don't have that, those support persons in place for that. So,
yeah, I love that. And I love that idea of using a sermon event, because I think that is a great intense time where you get to model that confession and absolution. I apologize for things. Uh-huh. They apologize for things. We're living in tight quarters and we're doing hard work and we're tired and we're hungry but we get to model in that short amount of time what it looks like, so that when we do struggle with big things, they know, right? They know that I'm not going to let stuff slide, but also they know I'm going to love them.
Right. Exactly.
Breath. Mm-hmm. I think you hit a little bit earlier, this idea of young people really being afraid to fail. Mm-hmm. Right. And the church being this place where young people are going to they're going to fail. They're mm-hmm. going to sin, or they're also sometimes just not going to do what they hope to do. And I think grace is one of those great spots where we can foster some grace in that spot where they might fail. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, like, what are some ways that we can foster grace in our youth ministry?
I think that that's a daily, sometimes an hourly thing that we can foster grace, in, especially in junior high ministry. But I think that being present and being authentic and genuine, and I had written down here the not sitting in judgment. I think sometimes, especially with teens and junior high kids, they feel like there's this, if I mess up, they aren't going to like me anymore. Or, and you know, there are some adults, unfortunately, that will hold grudges and they get upset. And it's like, no, we have to, like you said, that modeling of forgiveness and the modeling of grace that, yeah, I really didn't like when you did what you did at youth group and you stole the whole box of oatmeal pies and ate them before anybody else could have any. You know, it's not the end of the world. I'm still going to love you. It's just, please don't do that again. But, you know, having that ability to see them as children of God rather than people who are annoying me. You know, does that make sense? Because I think that sometimes, you know, we all go through those phases, but where we just see that everything they're doing is annoying because they want to get at me, but I don't think that's it. They're kids and they're going to do things sometimes that we think, huh, did you think that was going to turn out any differently? Did you really think that was a wise decision? But having that grace and the ability to laugh at things sometimes and not say, berate them for making a choice that I would not have made. But I think, and being available, I think we need to be able to take interest in what they do and we need to be there for them. And grace is like an umbrella for all of that. I just love the fact that our church believes in the grace, because it's not about what you do or how you do it or how many times you do it. It's about the fact that we have this undeserved love that we get regardless. And I think that if, as youth leaders, as pastors, as teachers, as just congregations, if we can just remember that even with each other, grace is so important for that. And it isn't hard, but I know it is for some. Sometimes it can be hard, but
it can be.
Yeah, it can be. But I think, I really think kids can grow in that when they can see that it's okay. It's a safe place to mess up and they're going to love me regardless. I'm not going to get kicked out of youth group. I'm not going to get kicked out of the church. And it's always going to be a place for forgiveness and grace.
Yeah. So any kind of last encouragements on steps that youth leaders might be able to take to foster warmth, challenge, and grace in your youth ministry and congregation?
I think prayer is a really big part of that, because I think, you know, as DCE, and as church workers, we all have our own stuff going on in our life. And I think sometimes when we can pray about what we're doing that day, whether it's doing a hayride or whether we're just doing a gathering for a Bible study, just praying for the Lord to be with us so that we can remember those things about being graceful. And because we get in our own way sometimes with that, I think. And I think, too, the other part, and this is a biggie for me as my therapist side, is youth leaders taking care of themselves. I think that's so important. You can't provide warmth and challenge and grace to another person if you're not taking care of yourself, if you're not taking those measures to make sure that your cup is full so you can pour into somebody else. And I think that's would be the first ones that I would say are very important. Otherwise, I think just knowing your environment, I think knowing who your audience is and knowing who the kids are and having that personal relationship, I feel like a lot of that stuff will come naturally eventually. I don't know. Maybe that's assuming. I don't know. But maybe that's just because that's for me. But I think that when you can, when you know the people that you're working with, when you know the kids and what motivates them and how they are, it's a lot easier. That's why I think when warmth, it works so much better in the church when everybody knows each other than rather than when you just come in and you sit and you leave. But when you have that fellowship time and you have that time to get to know one another outside of just sitting in the pew next to each other, it makes it easier. It just, it makes those relationships easier. And when you have hardships or you have joys, it's just so much better when you can do it with your family at church. I think that, of course, this comes from a woman who, as a church worker, we've never lived close to family. So our family has been our church, you know, so, right. And I think, I don't know. I think that the small steps would just be that prayer and, being mindful of what you're doing. And I think even just thinking about how you talk to your adults and how you talk to your youth, and because our tone and our attitude carries over on a lot of that. I think we can set a tone that's, you know, warm and loving and grace-filled. But when we're complaining about everything all the time or we're frustrated, and I'm not saying that we won't have that, but I think we need to think about that when we're in the body of Christ as a whole. Doesn't mean you can't complain to your pastor about things, but I don't know. I just think that our attitude can really make a big impact on how things are perceived within the church. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We are so thankful for your time getting us back into the practices talking about this and to hear how it plays out in many ways that you have connections with young people and their families. And just again, remind us of the wonderful opportunity we have as the body of Christ to show warm challenge and grace to each other and to young people in our congregations and schools.
Thank you.
I think warm challenge and grace is, like I said a little earlier, a little nebulous for people at some points. Right. But I think Angie did a great job of helping us understand that really that comes through relationships with other people, right? It's facilitated in those personal relationships where we know, we see other people, we remember their names, and we build a relationship that's comfortable to show challenge and grace when we need to.
Yeah, I think I always remember back when we did the research on retention, and I think one of those key things that we saw was, you know, when young people felt like their church was a place where they'd invite their friend, so kind of like an outside person, how welcomed their friend would be into a connection with another adult or whatever it may be. Like, that was one of those things, like, to kind of think through, like, how would maybe an outsider feel if they walk into your church the first time? And think about your youth ministry, maybe your connection, how you're inviting families. It's just one way to think through the lens of what does warmth, challenge, and grace look like to someone in a relational connection.
And I think it makes a difference when you help other adults to have the lens of we're looking at young people as children of God who are loved and who we want to share the gospel with, rather than annoying teens who are dressed in a way that maybe I don't totally understand or using language I don't totally understand, who I'm confused by, who I maybe see as sort of other out there.
Well, Angie touched on it. I always, when I think about this practice, I always think back of, as an adult, it's good to be honest about how much warmth, challenge, and grace was shown to me in my life growing up.
Sure.
It's been a humbling situation to think of parents, church members, teachers in high school that were thankfully people of warm challenge and grace that nurtured me along the way. And so to be humble that way and try to understand young people more, to be like, yeah, I could be a really hard kid to love. And yet I was shown that by God's people.
Yeah, when I had an office where young people came into, I always kept a picture of myself in middle school both myself and them grounded in knowing who they are, right? And who they were really talking to, right? Mm-hmm. We all went through that at some point.
Yes.
I also think both our research really showed this when we looked at what people told us in their stories, mm-hmm. was just the power of words, mm-hmm. right? The way that when we're mindful of our words, when we're thoughtful about how we talk to people, and the way that we approach answers to questions. And I know that can be hard for brand new lay leaders who are stepping into this, who are nervous, who are scared. But just the way that we talk to each other really does make a huge difference.
And I think that consistency of it too, so that, we are praying for, again, our own relationships and for God's love to be shown through our word and deed, and standpoint of think of that consistently of how even are we being people that are not gossiping and are speaking well of others, and to be able to put that in display, and how, that starts with a heart, certainly, as we pray for, as we welcome young people or others who, again, are maybe have tough questions, maybe have some behaviors, again, that are not God-pleasing even at times, or just different, and that how do we, again, look at them through the eyes of Jesus and his love for them. And so the opportunity, again, for us to show that love for young people is a real powerful thing.
Yeah. So a couple of questions for you to consider. How are you welcoming young people in learning their names?
How can you invite other members of your congregation into opportunities to show warmth, challenge, and grace to young people in your congregation?
And how are you developing programs that build relationships that show warmth, challenge, and grace? We will continue to keep you in our prayers as you build healthy youth ministry, in part by building environments of warmth, challenge, and grace that share the gospel.
Angles Podcast is a production of LCMS Youth Ministry and KFUO Radio. You can find more resources for your youth ministry at youthesource.com. To find more about LCMS Youth Ministry or to find links to resources mentioned, go to kfuo.org/youthministry. Thank you for listening and caring for the young people of our church.